Thank you, Brother John and Miss Jean. Thank you all for being here tonight. This evening we are going to be in Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And as we look at this, I've just been pondering some things. You know, Solomon is given quite a few lengthy monologues under the Holy Spirit about this sin of adultery. And so I have to think about this. Why did Solomon not take the advice of the Holy Spirit in his own personal life? Isn't that kind of how we are? We like to tell everybody else how to live, but don't we really need to look in the mirror, right? Don't we need to look in the mirror? So I want you real quick, before we just dive into the Word, to get some background on this. So I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to flip over to 1 Kings. Okay? Flip over to 1 Kings chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 4. And then we'll go down to all verses 9 through 13 or so. But I want to read this background. We've read it before, but I want it to enlighten us about who we're dealing with here, and want us to also be enlightened by this, that there is every one of us in here can fall. Every one of us in here can be tempted. Every one of us in here can struggle. And so as we go through these things, we look at Solomon and we see what happens here for in 1 Kings chapter 11, look at verse 4. Or you can go back up to verse 3. This just always amazed me. He says, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." 700 wives, 300 concubines, slaves, female slaves, and these women turned away his heart. And verse 4 says, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." Now that's interesting, because David had his fair share of temptations too when it came to women. But this is an amazing comparison of father and son. And I want to read to you just real quick what Dr. Jeremiah says about Solomon's sins. "At this stage in his life, Solomon focused his heart on things other than God. The story is sad because his immorality and idolatry resulted in failure and disgrace. Solomon committed these sins after a lifetime of service for God." I love this because it's so true. "Truly, there is no fool like an old fool. Solomon was 60 years old and still chasing 1,000 women. If Solomon exceeded his father's accomplishments, he also exceeded his mistakes." Now that's interesting, because we see a former president fall into this trap. We see professional athletes fall into this trap. We see even our next door neighbors, our friends, our family fall into this trap. What is this trap? Like David, Dr. Jeremiah says, Solomon had a wandering eye and a strong appetite for pleasure. Solomon was especially attracted to foreign women, a vice against which God had warned. Why? In a time of unprecedented commercial traffic with other nations, the great danger was in the ideas that might drift in along with goods and services. False gods were, and still are, the greatest danger for God's children. Very gradually, Solomon's vices overcame his virtues, and he disobeyed the Lord's commandments about spiritual purity as he had built a household of 700 wives and 300 concubines. He pursued not only the women,
but he pursued the gods they served. And you say, well, was he in wrong here? Because polygamy was accepted in this time period. Yes, he was wrong because in Deuteronomy, I believe it's 17, I can't remember the exact verse, but it says, you shall not go after foreign women. You shall not bring many wives to yourself. It was very strongly warned against, and we're going to see this at the end of the sermon tonight, why it was warned against. But man, I think we need to keep this in perspective sometimes. That as Solomon is giving this prescription to his son Rehoboam, this guy had been there and done that. That's why it's important to our youth. Listen to your parents. Listen to your grandparents. They have made some of the mistakes that they want to keep you from. And if you listen to them, they will keep you on the right path. And that is what Solomon was doing for his son Rehoboam. Look at verse 1 in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, still talking to Rehoboam, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my words. I want you to think about that tonight. It is a call to his son to go back where? When life hits you smack dab in the face, you don't go to the bottle. You don't go to the joint. You don't go to the prescription bottle. You don't go to the psychiatrist, the psychologist, all the doctors under the sun. When life hits you smack dab in the face, you go to the Word of God. He says, my son, keep my words. What were his words? His words were based upon the Pentateuch. It was based upon the first five books of the Bible. Treasure my commands within you. This is a neat word because he goes back over this in Proverbs chapter 2, in Proverbs chapter 3, in Proverbs chapter 4. He tells his son, keep his words, treasure my commands within you. What did that consist of? We've been in our Sunday school class going through the study of the armor of God. And as we've been looking at the armor of God, we have been looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And in doing so, we know that we have the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the ability to memorize verses that are appropriate for the time that the enemy attacks us. And it may not be Satan that is attacking us. It may not be the demonic forces of the world that is attacking us. It may be our own selfish desires. Usually that's what it is. Our own selfish desires cause us to fall. And when we use the sword of the Spirit, it is a treasuring of the commands that are within you. That when people come at you and challenge you, you can have something to say. When the devil comes to challenge you, you can have something to say. When the demonic forces of the world come and challenge you, you can have something to say from the Word of God. When your own heart fails you, and it does, we're wicked. We're not righteous. None of us. No, not one. And when we fail, I'm thankful that we have a God that picks us up. And so when you look at this tonight, he said, treasure my commands within you. Treasure these commands within you. Know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. And sometimes we may not be able to recite it verbatim, but we should be able to turn to Scripture and show what we stand for, what we believe in, what we know is the eternal truth of the Word of God. I think that's so important because a lot of people use their opinions, and opinions are great. As a matter of fact, they make for great discussion. But when it comes to the Word of God, our opinions don't really matter. Our opinions don't matter. What matters is the Word of God. And so he says, treasure my commands within you. Verse 2, he says, keep my commands and live. Keep my commands and live. Now we're going to get into this next Sunday night, but I want you to skip on down to verse 27 there in chapter 7, verse 27 in chapter 7. Keep my commands and live. Why? Well, he's going to be talking about the crafty harlot. He's going to be talking about the adulteress. He's going to be talking about the black widow, if you will. And what he says here in verse 27 is this: her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. We study this time and time again as we study the book of Proverbs. You make another husband mad at you, they're not going to take bribes. They're not going to take gifts. They may be coming at you with a 9mm. Okay? They will take your life. That's what he's saying there. Her house leads to hell, and her chambers lead to death. Son, keep my commands, and you'll live. Wow. Do we care enough about our kids and grandkids to tell them this kind of stuff? Do we care enough about them to tell them this kind of stuff? Or we just say, well, you know, they need to find their own way. I've heard that so many times I could vomit. Find their own way. Let me tell you where our way will lead us to. It'll lead us to death. It'll lead us to hell. That's where it'll lead us to. Keep my commands and live. Look at this in verse 2. And my law as the apple of your eye. Y'all heard that before. The apple of my eye. Oh, she's the apple of my eye. We've taken that out of context, right? The apple of my eye, the law as the apple of your eye. That law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I want you to take this law and I want it to be the apple of your eye, the pupil of your eye. Why? Because when you went out into battle, when you went out into the world, the Lord has given us two eyes. Some in here, I think about Brother Fred. He has lost that vision. And I think about what a tragedy that can be. And you think about people that don't have their vision. So what do? I have horrible vision. If I was to take my contacts out, I could barely see who you guys are. So I wouldn't know. I thought about this millions of times. What if I had to live back in the Old West? I wouldn't made it because I depend on these contacts to help guide me because they protect my eyes, they give me the vision to see. Some of you tonight, if you took your glasses off, you wouldn't be able to see. Okay? So he's saying here about the apple of the eye. He says the apple of the eye, the pupil is valuable. And as our pupils are valuable, so should be the Word of God. It should be so valuable, it should be the apple of your eye. In Zechariah 2:8, God tells the nation of Israel, He says, he who touches you, He's talking about enemies that invade Israel, He says, they touch the apple of my eye. Why? Because He loved Israel that much. So I want you to think about this. Keep the law as the apple of your eye. Dr. John MacArthur says the apple of your eye should be the law because it does two things for you. Number one, the law gives us what? Spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. Okay? Number two, the law gives us what? Moral sight. Moral sight. We've been traveling through the book of Exodus on Wednesday nights in Brother Schaefer's class. And as we look in the book of Exodus, there's been, Jim Gerard said, hey, some of these laws need to be in effect today. It'd make our nation a whole lot better. And everybody said amen, right? When you follow the law, and I'm not talking about the man-made law, I'm talking about God's law. When you follow God's law, it is going to lead you on the moral upright path. When we follow our law, you know what our law is, don't you? Our law is the law of the jungle. That's what our law is. You know, Darwin said what? The ones that are the fittest are the ones that's going to survive. He was this evolutionist, and Darwin has sank in to our high schools. He has sank in to our colleges, and he has just destroyed the minds of young people across our nation today of evolution. Evolution. Let me tell you something, folks. God's the one that creates. And you and I need to understand that. And if you have that biblical worldview, when you go out into the world and when your professors get up there and they start talking to you about microevolution, macroevolution, and I had a college biology professor teach me this evolution. I've told y'all before, really pretty lady gets up there and teaches us this evolution. Oh, you derive from a little molecule of water and then you become a simple organism like a little protozoa flowing in water, and then all of a sudden you evolved into a more complex species, all the way up to an ape, and then we have descended from apes to where we are at today. Hogwash! That's a lie. And even me as a degenerate, backslidden believer sitting in a college biology class could sit back there with my notes and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. And so I challenge our kids, I challenge our adults, I challenge anybody that goes to do higher education and hear that junk that's fed to our college kids today, stand true to the Word of God. It stands forever. Amen. The apple of your eye. Verse 3, bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Isn't that awesome? Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. It means this. It means to give them permanency in your life. They should be bound. Solomon was talking about a binding on your fingers like they would wear rings as kings. It is to be a binding on your fingers. It is to be written on the tablet of your heart. What is that allusion to? That is to the Ten Commandments. It should be written on the tablet of your heart that we know. What? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. We should know the commandments in our heart, and we should know these things that when we go out into the world and they try to tell us that abortion's right, we can stand up and say, no, you're wrong. When they stand up and say, well, you know, that was only meant for those people way back then, it doesn't apply to us today, we can stand up and say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. My friends and brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you have verses that are bound on your fingers and that you have verses that are written on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4, look at how he treats wisdom. This is interesting to me. He does this again, and I'm going to preach a Mother's Day message on it. In Proverbs chapter 8, he speaks of the Lady Wisdom, and he uses the personification of she. But look at what he says about her here. Excuse me. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. You are my sister. Wisdom should be like a family member to us, a close family member to us. And my prayer is that you treat biblical, godly wisdom as your sister. He tells Rehoboam, treat wisdom as your sister. When you go through the battles of life, always remember the words of wisdom that I taught you. Always remember the Word of God. Oh, how our young people need to be taught the Word of God. He says this very clearly, say to wisdom, you are my sister. And then listen to what he says about understanding. And call understanding your nearest kin. Isn't that neat? Understanding, instruction. Where do we get instruction from? Thus saith the Word of God. And what are we to do? We're to study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. I hear so many people taking verses out of context. I hear so many people cherry picking what they like in the Bible and don't like in the Bible. No, friend. When we have understanding from the Holy Spirit, it should be our nearest kin. We should be opening up this Word at our tables in the evening, our tables in the morning, and reading and studying the Word of God. My prayer is for us tonight as a church is that each day of the week we are in the Word of God. In the Word of God. If you're not, guess what? You can start tonight. You can start tonight. Isn't that awesome about our Lord? You have that opportunity. Start tonight. Make sure that wisdom is your sister and understanding is your nearest kin. Why? Well, verse 5, here she is again. She raises her ugly head again, and next week we'll go into more detail, but look at verse 5. that they may keep you from the immoral woman, the seductress, the adulteress, the one who is come to do what? Look there in verse 5. From the seductress who flatters with her words. Isn't that what she likes to do? So, any of you men in here, when you've ever been around the seductress and she has flattered you with those words, what do we tend to forget? Can we just be honest tonight with each other? We tend to forget about the law. We tend to forget about what God has told us. We tend to forget about what He has called us to do. Why? Because we have been suckered in to what? Flattering words. Flattering words. Oh, I've told you this before. You lost a lot of weight, hadn't you? Well, no, actually I gained 15 pounds, right? Oh, man, you must be working out. You look great. Oh, I really like that shirt and tie. Oh, this, and the words go on and on and on and on. What does it do to the male's ego? It bursts the ego up. And so the ego becomes inflated, and therefore when the word says, thou shalt not commit adultery, in your mind you're thinking, well, that's not adultery. That's not adultery. And one thing does what? One thing leads to another. Right? And this is what Solomon is telling his young son, Rehoboam. Rehoboam, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen if you do not keep the word bound on your fingers and the tablet written on your heart. So Michael, what does that mean for me? I just want to give you three things tonight. Isn't that a classic Baptist preacher? Let me give you three things to finish out tonight. This may be just speaking to men, but I'm sure women have encountered it as well. The first one is this, and I just want you to jot these verses down in your notes. It's found in Job 31 and 1. Job said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I made a covenant with my eyes. I think that's something that men should call themselves to tonight in the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That I'm not going to look and women with lustful thoughts in my mind. And man, that's hard. When you go to the beach and they're not wearing anything, and you go to the mall and they're not wearing anything, and you go out here to the town and they're not wearing anything, and they expose themselves in the ways that are just as ungodly as can imagine, and they wear outfits that your mind just continues to just go 90 to nothing. That we make a covenant with our eyes before the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to lustfully look at a girl with my eyes. With my eyes. Wow, could we be like Brother Job tonight? Men? Number two. The next thing that I want to point out to you is this. Genesis 39 and 7. That whole chapter of Genesis 30. Boy, that's good stuff. That's Joseph. You remember Potiphar's wife? Joseph was handsome. And Potiphar's wife wanted him so bad. And Joseph said, no. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Joseph was a man of God. And I want you to think, men or women, if you're ever put in this situation, to think about what Joseph did. Boy, Potiphar's wife come on to him as strong as the harlot, as we're going to see here in chapter 7 of Proverbs. And what did old Joseph do? In chapter 39, verse 7, he said this, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Sin against God. So if we're ever put in those situations, we have to remember, it wasn't just going to be his master he sinned against coming on the earth. It wasn't just going to be Potiphar, the wife, that he was sinning with. It wasn't just going to be his own body that he sinned against. Joseph got real. And he said what needs to be echoed through our mouths today is what? How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Against God. That's who we sin against. And when you have a low level of God, it becomes real easy to sin. But when you have a high supreme authority of who God is, it will break your heart when you sin. It'll break you. And last but not least, the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. All of you know this. And boy, every time a preacher would preach on this, every time I read it, I get convicted. Why? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery." There he is quoting from Exodus, quoting from Deuteronomy. You shall not commit adultery. But listen to what he says. Boy, doesn't this really hit to the heart, gentlemen? He says this, "I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Wow. Whoever looks at a woman to lust. I heard a preacher preach one time, said, "Don't take a double look." Right? Man, gentlemen, get real tonight. Here comes the lady walking down the street. "Oh, let's take a look. Oh, let me get another look. What are you looking at?" Right? And he says, when you have looked upon that lady with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. Sinned against God. Can I get a witness tonight, gentlemen? Sinned against God. We're all guilty. There's none of us righteous. No, not one. That's why we need our Savior. That's why we need our Savior. Listen to what he says. Man, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Wow, we just talked about eyes. And he says this, "Cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than from your whole body to be cast into hell." That lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of those things come into play. And my prayer for us tonight is to realize, as Solomon spoke to his young son Rehoboam, he spoke to him and he says, "Keep my words. Treasure my commands within you. And when you do that, you will live." Aren't you thankful for the Word of God this evening? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that when we have problems, you have the prescription. And Lord, my prayer is for my brothers and sisters in Christ that may be dealing with lust. I pray tonight that there not be anybody in our midst struggling in the sin of adultery, but Lord, there may be. You know all hearts. And your word says you know all things. Lord, my prayer is tonight is that we realize through your word that when we sin against you, Lord. And Lord, may you break us. May you bend us to our knees to come to you in repentance. To turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, repent of the sins that we have committed against you. And Lord, turn to thee for everlasting power, everlasting hope, and Lord, everlasting security. We thank you for that tonight. Lord, I ask you to be with us as we dismiss here from our service. I ask you to be with us as we go into our business meeting. May everything be done pleasing and honorable to you. May our spirits be at one accord here at New Hope Baptist Church. We love you. And Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the families that you brought to us. Thank you for the Harrises, for the Doolins, for the Moores. Thank you for the families that have come in here to plug in and to serve. And Lord, I am so thankful that you have established the church. And we praise you for that this evening. Lord, be with us. Lord, I pray this week that you put a lost person in our path.
Lord, I pray this week you put a burden on our heart to share the gospel. Lord, I pray this week that you let us understand that the fields are white to harvest. Lord, go with us now. Lord, forgive me if where I fail you. And we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
To our guest tonight, you are dismissed.